Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Church, are you ready to praise the Lord this morning? Hallelujah! I want everybody to stand up with me. Go ahead and stand up. You know, this morning I was feeling a little tired. I'm not gonna lie. I kind of woke up and I was like, I don't really feel like it. But we're not gonna give any reason to not praise our God this morning. Amen. Hallelujah! All right, ready? Pay attention up here. We can bring it down a little bit. Ready? We're just gonna get our flesh moving and wake ourselves up. I'm still a little tired. Go ahead and give me some of these arm circles. Go ahead. Stretch out your tricuspid bicuspids. I don't know. Go ahead backwards. Those are heart valves. Okay, good. The Lord knows all things. That's what's important. Go ahead. Bend down and touch your toes. Go ahead. Reach towards the sky. Turn around. Take a bow. Hallelujah. Last thing. Go find five people. High five them. Go ahead. Just give some positivity. We're going to praise the Lord this morning.
Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him.
flesh and a spirit of heaviness and put on a garment of praise, amen. How do you put on a garment of praise? How do you praise the Lord? You start telling him about himself, right? It feels really, really good when someone says, hey, Jen, you're so amazing. I really appreciate the work that you do. Tammy, you're so beautiful. Your smile just lights up my life. So we want to do the same thing for the Lord this morning. Go ahead and just lift your hands and start praising Jesus. Go ahead and tell him about himself this morning. Jesus, you are so amazing. There is absolutely no one like you. You're my only Savior. You're my only Redeemer. This is how we step into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Go ahead and keep lifting him up.
Yeah.
sing that again.
Glory to the righteous one. Sing glory.
Surrender everything to you right now. Everything displeasing to you, Jesus, we just surrender it. Even the good things, God, we surrender it to you, God. If it's not pleasing to you, Jesus, we give it to you right now. You are our King, Jesus.
Yes, the Lord is good forever.
We can go to the next level, but without Jesus at the center of our lives, we will go nowhere. Without Jesus at the center of our personal lives, this church will go nowhere. So we as a corporate body, we all need to keep Jesus front and center. So I want us to all sing this and declare it not only over ourselves, but our church.
Center of my life, and Jesus be the center of my life, from beginning to the end. It's always been, it'll always be you, Jesus. In Jesus, in Jesus be the center of my life. In Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it's always been.
You're the center, everything.
to the end. It's always been, always be you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Name you gave us. You gave us the name of Jesus, so that if we ask anything in his name, you'll give it to us. Lord, you gave us the name of Jesus, that we should bow and declare that he is Lord. You gave us the name of Jesus to be saved, for there is no other name under heaven whereby we shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that your name is supernatural. We thank you, God, that even demons recognize your name and submit themselves. Lord, today we're not a weak church. We're not a weak people. We're filled with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, and no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. We declare, God, that we have the righteousness of heaven dwelling inside, and the very kingdom of God is within us. Lord, I thank you that we don't see ourselves as some weak religious folk that need a crutch, but we are sons and daughters of the Most High King, anointed and appointed as ambassadors to this planet to bring the message of the good news that sets the captives free. Lord, I thank you that you have called us more, Lord, than just into a place. You've called us into your home. And thank you for the privilege of being where you are and being in your tangible presence of heaven. And Lord, today we just want to say we love you and thank you for your goodness. It is. It's all about you, Jesus. Nobody else, nothing else really matters. We're not going to stand before the judgment with anybody else on our side, just you and us. Lord, I pray in your name that you'll help us take ourselves off our own thrones and put you back where you belong. That Jesus, you will be lifted high in our life, and that God, we will submit our hearts and our lives to you and say whatever you say and your word says, we will obey. No matter what the cost, for obedience is better than sacrifice. I thank you, Jesus, that you said if we love you, we'll keep your commandments. Lord, that means without excuse, we just simply want to say, as the center of our life, we choose to obey you. Not out of mandate, but out of love. Thank you for loving us so we can serve you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. How many of you love the Lord this morning? How many of you don't love the Lord this morning? Don't say anything. Can you go around to five or six folks and say, I love Jesus. I'm not ashamed. Come on now. Go tell some folks you're not ashamed that you follow Jesus. Don't just go sit in your seat. Go find somebody you don't know. Look them in the eye and say, I'm not ashamed I serve Jesus.
Thank you. HT family, it is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
Good, y'all. Groups start back up January 13th. You can sign up at histabernacle.com/groups or on a Sunday at the Information Center. We want you to be part of a family that goes and grows together. We want to see you in a group.
We invite you to the His Tabernacle Family Church Women's Conference, which will be hosted on Friday, March the 1st, and Saturday, March the 2nd. We are so excited to be able to share this special retreat with you.
So Friday night, March 1st, will be at 6 p.m., and then again Saturday morning, March 2nd, at 9 a.m.
There's no place to go but up.
Joey, why you gotta go everywhere and fart?
Why you gotta be dressed like that in public?
Why you gotta act stupid?
Why have I met five-year-olds with better
things? Guys, you're like newly married, newlyweds. I mean, you're already fighting this horribly? Jeez. All right, so guys, family, we have marriage class. It's in step two of Next Steps. It's starting January 29th, 7 p.m. Listen, you might be newly married, and you might have been married a long time. Either way, this class you want to be a part of to help you grow and mature in your marriage. So again, January 29th, step two, marriage, 7 p.m. See you there.
Hey, hey, good morning, family. We're going to try that again because that was really sad. All right, all right. You guys all good with that? Good morning, family. All right, all right. I love it, I love it. Listen, you guys have a double portion today. Can you tell? We did not even call each other today. I mean, I showed up, I was like, yo, we's in the right place. All right, so listen, we want to welcome all the guests of the house. If this is your first time at His Tabernacle Family Church, can you just raise your hand up, maybe a leg if you want, either way. We have a packet for you with gift we'd like to get to you. Leave your hand up if you can, if that would be awesome. But listen, we got some information in there for you, but right after the service, we would love to get to know you, answer any questions you guys have. So right to your right, there are pointing fingers. Trevor, I love the leg, man. Look at Trevor. He's raising a leg. I love it. All right, so all of you guests, thank you so much for joining us. But right to your right, you can't see it because there's a wall. But on the other side, down the hallway, we have a guest reception. It gives us an opportunity to get to know you and answer questions. Amen. So thank you, guys. Can we give our guests a round of applause? Thank you for joining us this morning. We also want to welcome our live stream family. Thank you so much for joining us. Listen, you're going to be in for a great service. Pastor, of course, he's on his prime. But you want to stay on for the entire message while you're live streaming. So thank you so much, family. Can we give our live streamers a hand clap as well? Listen, if you can't hear us, we're clapping for you. Amen. Amen. What else do we got? Also, listen, you guys saw the video about the marriage class that's happening in step two. Everybody say step two. So step two and next steps is starting with marriage this week. It's going to be at 7 p.m. It's going to be Tuesday night. So 8-week class. Of course, we got step one. Everybody say step one. That's rock solid faith. That's happening as normal. We got Tuesday night, 7 p.m., Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., and Thursday night, 6 p.m. here at the Horseheads campus and 6 p.m. also at the Ithaca campus. So make sure you get into that class this week.
I'm just so excited to be up here with this guy, although my shoes are better than his. Who here is involved in groups? Woo! Look at this. Y'all are awesome. If you did not raise your hands, we want you to get involved in groups. This is why we're called His Tabernacle Family Church. We want to live life with you. So if you're a group host, can you just stand up really quickly? If you're a group host, let's go for our group host. They have committed to ensuring that everyone feels like family in the house of God. So if you are not part of a group, please see one of them and say, hey, I want to join your group. Or go out to the info center. We have really cool iPad set up that has every single group, their meeting dates and times and all the information that you will need. But there is zero excuse to not get plugged in into our church family. So if you have not joined a group, I want to encourage you, even starting this afternoon, even in the snow, there are some groups that are going to be meeting. They're going to have some food, coffee, fun. Some are kid-friendly. Some are pet-friendly. There is no reason for you to not get involved. So I want to encourage you to go and join a group. In addition, we have one of our awesome groups, the His Tabernacle Line Crossers Motorcycle Ministry. They're putting together a chili cook-off next Sunday, right after church. There is $5, so please see them at the info center to get your ticket. And who is excited for tax season? Okay. Well, as part of your taxes, we want to be good stewards of our finances and ensure that you have your giving statements. So our finance team has actually printed out and prepared envelopes for every single family unit with your giving statement records. So if you would like those, please go out to the info center after church and pick up your giving statement. Amen? All right, who's ready for the offering with Pastor Spencer? Nobody clapped for you. Okay, Pastor.
That's all right. I don't take it personal. It's amazing. I'm so excited. Can you turn to somebody and say, thank you? Come on, tell somebody else to say, thank you. You know, it's important that you thank and that you're appreciative. You know, last year was a banner year for His Tabernacle Family Church. We have accomplished so much for the Lord. Some of the things I just want to share them with you. We had 450 people give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ for the very first time last year at these altars. Three people gave their hearts to Jesus this morning in first service. Very exciting. Also, we want to remind you that we launched a campus last year, 2018. We started with 15 people in Ithaca, and right now it's running over 100 people every single Sunday in Ithaca. We also gave away 20,000 pieces of candy at the egg drop this last year that brought people here that we could share the gospel with. We were also able, and many of you don't know, but we have a TV program. It runs every Sunday on CBS and ABC. We reach up to 15,000 people every single Sunday in the mornings. We also have groups, 550 people of you, all the folk, 550 in this house are participating with groups every single week. Matthew 25, how many of you know what Matthew 25 is? That's our feeding program and clothing program. And we are blessed because it is just doing amazing things. Last year, we fed 6,789 meals. That's a lot of food. That's right here. That's right in the other room. Every Tuesday, we bus in a bunch of young children under the age of 12. And then on Thursday night, we bus in a whole nother group of kids over the age of 12. We feed them, we clothe them, we get them shoes, whatever they need. This house, you're taking care of people. And during the summer, we actually go to them in the parks. Last year, we fed over 1,000 children during the summer in the parks. I just want you to know that nothing could be accomplished but by you being used by God in obedience. Can you turn to someone and say, thank you? Come on, tell somebody else, thank you. It's funny because people think, well, you know, I don't have a lot to tithe, but it's not the lot, it's what you give. I want to remind you when Jesus was ministering to that woman, remember the woman came up and she threw 2 pennies in? And then a man came up and he gave a big wad of money. Jesus actually said that woman gave more than the man with the wad. Why? Well, because she gave out of her need, he gave out of his excess. And I want you to recognize, no matter how small or how large, as a tither, you are allowing this house, your house, the vision that you go to reach and to touch and to change lives upon lives upon lives. And I just want to say, as your pastor, thank you so much. You know, it's really exciting, too. Many of you don't know, but we have pastors that we pastor in Kentucky. And we just actually, my wife, Pastor Rhonda, is in St. John, New Brunswick, Canada right now, preaching up there. And that church, we've been pastoring the pastors, but they just asked to be a campus of His Tabernacle Family Church. So now we'll have a campus in Ithaca. campus in St. John, New Brunswick, Canada. And tomorrow, please pray for Pastor Dan and I. We're going down into Mansfield in Pennsylvania and looking for a new building down in Mansfield, Pennsylvania, because we're going to open a new campus in Mansfield this year. So God's doing awesome things, lives, so many lives being changed. And I just want to say thank you. Turn to somebody and say, thank you. Come on, tell somebody, thank you. See, being a tither in this house, man, you're changing lives. And I just want to say, as God says, thank you for your obedience to the Lord. Now, last Sunday, we didn't have church, so some folks held their tithe over. I just want to remind you that that's not money to put back in your pocket. Can I hear an amen? SWAT and I did a skit one time. We actually built a teller, you know, a bank teller, old-style bank teller. And I was the banker, and Bruce, one of the guys, was the guy who had a mortgage with the bank. Well, the bank called up Bruce and said, sir, you're a month behind on your mortgage. So he came in, and he talked, and he says, sir, you're a month behind on your mortgage. You know, you missed your mortgage payment. He says, well, I don't owe a mortgage payment. I took my family down to Disneyland the first week of that month, and we weren't living in the house, so therefore, we don't owe you a mortgage payment. How many of you realize you're going to lose your house? Amen? Well, I remind you that just because you weren't in the house doesn't mean that's not God's money still. Amen? So be a tither. Be consistent. There's so many different ways to give, and we just want to thank you for being so faithful. Father, I just speak blessing over this house in the name of Jesus. I declare, God, increase in their finances, raises. Lord, I declare, Father, that the entrepreneurs, those fresh ideas will stir in their spirit. Lord, bless the companies that are in this house in Jesus' name. Let them prosper. Lord, just so crazy that, Father, even the world will have to say somebody's on their side. And Lord, we speak blessing to them, blessing to this house, blessing to the individuals and families in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's all stand to our feet, make our supernatural proclamation. How many believe the word of God is true? How many believe it's half true? How many believe it's all true? Then let's declare it. Shout it out loud. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. Come on now, the blessings have changed me down. They didn't trip me up, because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning. I guess they didn't feel like continuing to clap their hands. great worship team. We are so blessed. This is the year of... I didn't understand a word you said. I said, this is the year of... Amen. Next level. Turn to someone and say, next level. Being the year of the next level, what the exciting part is, we've talked about that you can't stay at the same base camp. Can I hear an amen? Come on, tell somebody, don't be a slug. You got to draw that out now. Don't be a slug. Everybody knows what a slug is. Man, it's that little thing that kind of slowly slides. You know, they get run over all the time. How many of you have stepped on a slug? Don't raise your hand. That's horrible. It's amazing to recognize that so many people stay at base camp. And if you're not sure what I'm talking about, we'll get into it in just a few moments. Our goal is to reach the summit. Amen? To reach the summit is not to get to heaven. To reach the summit is to know Jesus. The reason Paul made this declaration was found in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. And he said, I count it all joy. I count it everything, all things, dung, just to know Jesus. The passion of Paul was to know Christ, not to be part of a religion, not to be part of a tradition, but to literally know Jesus Christ as a person and to know him, to walk with him and talk with him. That's a relationship. You see, this whole thing that we're talking about is not climbing a religious ladder. It is not becoming something in status. It is literally knowing Jesus. Now, sadly enough, a lot of people are quite religious. We are religious smokers. We are religious tokers. We are religious drinkers. We are religious churchgoers. We are religious even Bible readers. But there's difference between a religion and a relationship. A relationship is alive and vibrant. Life is breathed into it. Well, a religion is a bunch of do's and don'ts and little things that you have to accomplish. But this is the year not of the next level in religion, but Christ wants you to know him. I'm talking know him. Be in a relationship with him that if he whispers to him, you're going to be able to hear his voice. Can I hear an amen? So this is an awesome year. You know, this is what we're going to learn today. You ready? I'm going to tell you right up front. We're going to learn what equipment God has given you to make it to the summit. We're going to teach you what are the dangers that are going to happen in the journey. And number three, we're going to encourage you. Don't slip off the mountain. You got to know that the devil hates you, and he wants you to be destroyed. Our verse for the year is found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, and it says this. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection or meaning maturity, but I press on. Come on, shout out. I press on. Come on.
I press on.
Come on. Tell somebody next to you, you're going to press on. You're going to move forward. You're not going to stay still. You're not going to remain where you are. You're going to the next level. You're making a determination in your spirit. I thank God for where I am, but I got a dissatisfied satisfaction. I'm moving on with Jesus. I'm going all the way. I want the summit, not just base camp. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I press on to possess the perfection for which Jesus Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Ready? Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on. Come on now, shout it out with me. I press on. Shout my next level. I press on. This means you're moving. Turn to someone and say, you got to move. I was talking in first service about worship. And with first service, I asked everybody in the worship service, do something you've never done before in worship. Because if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get the same result. See, if you're always just coming to church and sitting there in your same spot, this is why I like changing up spots, amen? I like changing up the way the sanctuary looks sometimes because it kind of messes the religious folk up. Sometimes I say things just to rile the religious. It's funny because you can see them go like this. I love riling the religious. Why? Because religion will never get you to heaven. And if you rely upon your religion, you're going to be sadly mistaken when the trumpet of God shouts because you're not going to the North Country. Can I hear an amen? You see, this is the plan of God, is that you will be successful in your walk with him. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. He's calling us to know Christ. He's calling us to walk with him. He's calling us to know him, not know about him. This is the relationship that Christ is after. Listen, in all of our getting, in all that we acquire on this planet, in everything we do on this planet, all the accolades we get, all the materialistic things that we acquire, everything is going to be gone when we get to heaven. How well do you know Jesus? How well do you know your God? This is ultimately the drive that we have in our spirit. We've got to come off the throne so he can get on the throne. We've got to allow God to be God instead of us trying to control our own lives and say, Jesus, I trust you. I'm going to trust you with my salvation. I'm going to trust you with my life. This is the relationship of trust, and that's why relationship and trust are synonymous. You cannot have a relationship without trust. God wants to prove his relationship with you, and he has. For greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friend. Jesus died to prove his love. Jesus died to give you life. Jesus died to give you relationship. Jesus did all of that so we could go to the next level, and that is stop wandering on the planet aimlessly, but now being sons and daughters of the Most High King, be born again, washed by the blood of the Messiah, now having a relationship with God, now destiny and purpose are before us, and now we can run the race to win because we're not like a dog chasing our tail in circles. Amen? So God has a plan. The amazing part is that in every adventure, in every sport, you have tools or you have things that you have to be successful with them. You have gear. Now, listen, I used to scuba dive, and I want you to know that we always carried a knife in Seneca Lake. Because of the sharks that are in there. These monster sharks come up and they bite your legs off. And I always told my kids that, you know, they were afraid to swim in Seneca for a while. But the reason actually you carry a shark knife, and it is actually a shark knife, in Seneca Lake is not because there are sharks. There are sturgeon, but no sharks. But because when you're down 60 to 80 feet and you get tangled up in a fisherman's line that had been fishing for, let's say, a big brown trout with a 100-pound test, and you get wrapped up and your gear gets wrapped up in that, you've got to have a way to take out your knife and cut yourself free. Gear is important. When you don't have the right gear, you cannot accomplish the right task. And it's the same thing in the spirit. God has given us the gear of heaven. It's called the what? The Bible. Well, come on, what's it called in the book of Ephesians? The whole armor of God. Turn to someone and say, God's given us armor to fight the good fight of faith. But you know, we've been talking about mountain climbing. Now, it's amazing is every mountain climber has specific gear. Now, there's really no mountain climbing stores around here, so we had to go to Ithaca. So we went to this store in Ithaca, and I walked into the guy, and I said, now, we're doing sermon stuff. I need a rope. He goes, what kind of rope do you want? I said, I need good rope, you know, cheap, good rope. And he said, well, I have some cheaper rope over here, and he pulled it out. I said, well, it's got to be enough for here and in Ithaca because we're both preaching the same message. And so he says, okay, and he starts pulling it out. There's not enough rope. I said, you got any other rope? He says, well, I got that orange one, and I've got that green one. I says, well, how much is the orange one? And he said, $170 some odd. I went, so I figured, let's go cheaper. How much is the green one? $240. I says, the orange one looks good. I said, I'm going to cut it. And he went, what? You're going to what? I'm going to cut it because I need to have enough for Ithaca and I need to have enough for it. He says, you're going to make every mountain climber cry. Why? Because this rope is life to a mountain climber. This rope is what tethers them to the mountainside that they're climbing. Without this rope, without this lifeline, they'll fall off the side of that mountain. They'll fall into a crevasse. They'll fall into a hole. They'll fall into a position. They'll slide off the rocks and dash their head against the ground, and they'll die. This rope is imperative to having life as a mountain climber. And I want you to know, as a believer, we have one lifeline, and his name is Jesus. It's not the church. It's not your religion. It's not your pastor. It's not your mommy and daddy. The only lifeline that you have that's eternally secure is Jesus. Can I hear an amen? We then, as mountain climbers, we have an ice axe. And ice axes are important because, you know, they got points here and they got points here. And, you know, I've always wanted one of these and they're really fun. So, I got to pull my pants up. They're sliding. What these things are for is that when you're climbing the side of a mountain and it's icy or the steps are difficult, you're actually able to dig in with this side and pull yourself up. The ice axe is for forward motion, but it's also for something else. It's also, if you start to slide back and start to slide down the mountain, you can flip it around and drive it into the ground. And man, what's going to happen is it's going to catch you and keep you from falling off that mountain. You see, every tool has a purpose. Every tool that you carry in every single sport, and that gear that you have keeps you safe. You know, what's amazing, there's another one, and I didn't get them because it would have destroyed the rugs. I mean, like, I don't mind putting a hole in every once in a while, but, you know, I like destroy the rugs. It's these big spikes you put on your back, on the bottom of your feet. They use those because what's happening is when you're climbing up the ice formations, you're able to dig your feet in, and it will keep you from sliding backwards. And if you start to slide, then you have your ice pick to drive yourself in till you get another grip. Each part of the tool is important. God wants you to never slide back in your relationship with him. He wants to put supernatural, spiritual spikes on your feet, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that you will be a person that is immovable, that you will be a person that the devil will never get to your life and tear you away from Christ, or you slide away. God's got great plans for you. Make sure you use the right gear. Then you have the helmet. The helmet of salvation is important because the helmet is not just if you fall, but the helmet is also if something falls on you. Sometimes you're going through life and you have a difficult situation, comes out of nowhere and kind of like slaps you on top of the head. But the great part is you have protection. It's called the helmet of salvation, that Jesus Christ will keep you safe no matter what your problem, that in him you can even crawl into the cleft of the rock, that my God is faithful, abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine, that Christ said there's nothing impossible if you only believe. You can't fail as long as you have the right gear on in your walk with Jesus. Then you have the harness. The Bible says, gird yourself with truth. You want to know why this is so important? Because this right here tethers you to your rope. Without the harness, you'll never be able to hang on to that rope and be able to hang there and stay there. You see, that harness, the belt of truth, is the word of God. Why does the devil work so desperately to keep you out of church? Why does the devil desperately work so hard to keep you out of the Bible every day? Because he knows that if you start building faith, faith will move mountains. If you have the faith of the size of a mustard seed, you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. You see, the moment your faith starts to rise, for faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. Not just heard, but hearing and hearing and hearing. The more you hear the word, the more you grow in your faith. The more you hear the word, the more you tether yourself to the lifeline called Jesus. You see, all this gear is to keep you safe. All this gear is to keep you on the trail. All this gear is to keep you in the journey. Because when you stop in the journey, I want you to recognize that you're not going to continue. Listen, 450 people gave their hearts to Jesus last year. That's awesome. But how many are continuing in the journey? That's the question. Not that you have fruit only, but that your fruit remains. The challenge is that there are dangers. And one of the greatest dangers is being unprepared. We are a teaching church, and the reason that we have Rock Solid Faith every Tuesday night at 7, every Wednesday morning at 9, every Thursday night at 6, here and in Ithaca, and also we put them online, so you can go to histabernacle.com, go to watch, go to archives. All of the Rock Solid Faith are on there for over a year. Why do we do that? Why? Because if you are unprepared, if you are not learning your skills, if you are not learning your equipment, no matter if you have it or not, you'll never use it. If you have a drill and you have a screwdriver, you can have a screwdriver and get the same job done. But let me tell you something. You grab a hold of that drill, you know how to use it. Bam, you can drive that down in seconds. The thing is that if you're unprepared in the spirit, you're unprepared for this journey, you're unprepared in this mountain, you're unprepared to go forward with God, you're going to struggle more. We call that the roller coaster ride with Jesus. Can't tell you how many believers I've seen on the roller coaster ride with Jesus. He loves me. Yeah, where's God? He loves me. Defeat. Victory. Struggle. Oh, my goodness. Ah! Ooh, ooh, eh. It's a horrible adventure. See, the mind of God and the plan of God is not decrease, but increase. The mind and the plan of God is going forward, not backwards. What happens is when you're unprepared with the tools that he has given you, there's no way for you to be able to use them properly to keep you from sliding down the mountain, to keep you from sliding backwards, to keep you in the right trail and on the right ridge. See, this is why so many believers struggle. Honestly, you talk to most believers, I'm not even joking, you talk to most believers and ask them what the Trinity is, they don't know. You ask them who Christ is, they got a concept, their concept, but not the word's concept. You ask them what the prayer of faith is, they'll look at you with like starry eyes. Why? They've never heard of the prayer of faith. All these are tools that God has given us in his word to bring great success to us so that we can tether ourselves to Jesus and make it, come on now, as Paul said, I have not apprehended yet, but I keep my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm going all the way. I'm going to the summit. I'm going to know God, walk with God, be with God. If he whispers, I'm going to know his voice. Come on now, John 10. He said, my sheep know my voice. See, being prepared is everything, and God is calling us to this position of preparation. But yet, let's be honest, man. American Christians are some of the laziest, and I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to all of us, and me included. In most nations, they won't even take communion without fasting for a day. It's not strange. In fact, I love talking to the Nigerians when they come over and they come to church here. You're able to talk with them, and they've lived there their whole lives. They go to church three, five times a week. It's not strange for that. That's normal for them. And we're not talking like, you know, a 10-minute service. Dear God, he's almost preached an hour. What's wrong with him? I'm talking like they're there to hear the word, and it doesn't matter what the cost is. They're going to eat and be filled. My friend, his name is Andrew Prakasam. He does ministry in Asia. And actually, one time he invited me to come, and he says, I'd like you to come. And I said, well, I'll pray about it. But he says, when you come, he says, some of these people are literally going to walk an entire week to get to this service. He says, you've got to be willing to preach at least 5 or 6 hours. Well, that sounds exciting. Let's try it at home. They travel literally a whole week to get to this service. They sit on a concrete floor with crossed legs, no air conditioning, and they are not going to move all day long because they've traveled, they've paid the price to get the word of God. You see, we've got to get a hungering in our spirit. For those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. We've got to get a hunger in our spirit that's more than that for the world. Amen. The more you get hungry for Jesus, the more you'll be prepared because the more you're going to be in the word. The next thing that's so dangerous is that of being complacent. You start off here, come on now, we all start at the same place. That's why nobody's better than anybody else. We all start at salvation at the cross. Amen? That's why when somebody gets real prideful, they think they're something that they're not. The truth is that they're not, because we all came the same way. Without the blood of Jesus, you can't be saved. But the fact is that that's not where he told you to end. That's where he told you to begin. How many of the folks, even in the house today, you got saved, man. It was a genuine conversion. But you've never moved past salvation. You still live the same way you've always lived. You still talk the same way you've always talked. You still do the same things you've always done. Now, listen now. You have a love for God, but love enough to get out of hell, but not love enough to reach the summit. God wants to shift your heart. Your complacency is actually going to destroy you. Because you can only stay so long at the same place and not be bored. It's amazing how many Christians, well, I tried that Jesus stuff. It didn't work for me. I just lost interest. Listen, the only way you can lose interest in Christ is if you stop moving forward. The only way to stop, come on now, and lose your interest in God or get bored in the house of the Lord is if you're not moving forward in your relationship with the Lord. Your complacency is damning you. The complacency within you will tear your passion away. Man, if you get complacent in your marriage, you'll soon be divorced. Amen or oh my. How many of you have been married? How many of you know it takes a lot of work? How many of you have said, is this worth it all? I'll raise my hand. If you're honest, you're going to raise your hand. Even the best of marriages say, oh my God, what did I get myself into? But what makes your marriage work in the relationship work is work. The moment you get complacent, your relationship is going to diminish. And watch this. The devil will always have someone to come try to make it exciting for them. And in your walk with God, it's the same thing. The devil will always send something that will stimulate you because you're bored in the house of God. You're bored in your relationship with Jesus. You've got to make a decision in your heart. I'm all for Jesus. It does not matter what anybody says or what anybody does. I'm going all the way with God, and I thank God for base camp. But that was my beginning. It's time to start climbing higher. It's time for my next. Come on, it's time for my next. You know, the next one is slipping. Come on now. Oh. Oh man, I forgot my tool. I forgot my gear. You know, it's a lot of work going back downhill. Thanks. I am starting to sweat. What are you looking at, kid? All right, here we go. Okay. You see, it's not just getting there, it's staying there. And without the right gear, you might not stay there. You see, the struggles of walking with the Lord is that the temptations of the world are real. And sometimes they look even better than what God has to offer. But you got to make a decision. I've got the right tools. I refuse to slide backwards. No matter, whoa, that went all the way through.
Sorry. What's amazing is this. It takes so much work to slide out of your relationship with the Lord. Why don't you put that much energy into staying with the Lord? It takes so much work to go hang out with your old friends even, because you know you're compromising. Why don't you just make the right choice and start moving ahead with Christ? See, that's the challenge. The challenge is making sure you don't slip. But the great part is that when you do slip, just like Peter, man, he started to descend in that water. He called out to Jesus, and Jesus went over and picked him up and carried him back to the boat. I want you to know that Christ will always be there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you all the way to the end of the world. But the truth is simply this, is that I choose. I don't have to slip. I don't have to fall. I don't have to walk away. I don't have to start at base camp. I don't have to start at the beginning. I'm making a choice that I am not going backwards. I'm going all the way to the summit. I will know Christ. Amen. Amen? I said amen. Amen. You know, we have a real valid enemy. Base camp. Hi, Marge. Remember what our goal is. Our goal is knowing God. Our goal is knowing Christ. That's the summit. How many believers really don't know God? Now, I'm not saying we don't love God, but we really don't know God because we've been pursuing so many other things, we stop pursuing Him. See, this is the ultimate vision, the ultimate passion, the ultimate goal, the ultimate, the apex of our life is to walk with God, know God. Listen now, I'm talking like we can be used by God, but you can be used by God and still not know God. He will say to many, they'll stand before Him and they'll say, Lord, did we not cast out devils in Your name? Did we not prophesy in Your name? And He'll say, I don't know you. See, it's not about what you do. You do what you do because of who you know. What you do doesn't get you to know Him. Knowing Him gets you to do Him. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Because Jesus said, I only do what the Father has told Me to do. The relationship, the apex of relationship with God was to know Him. And you got to know this. There are those dangers that the inconsistencies, the complacencies, and even people that are in your life. Some of you got people in your life you need to get out of your life. Now, I'm not talking your spouse. Some of you are just waiting for that excuse. Good, I can get rid of them. It's not what I'm talking about. But we have friends and people and places that we go to that every time we go to them, come on now, we start getting drawn back off the mountain. We start being drawn back from our goal. We start being drawn back from the passion of Christ. There are some people in your life that the enemy is placing in your life to destroy so that you never reach the summit, and that is knowing God. Because if you don't know God, somebody is going to pay the price because your life affects other lives. Satan is desperately striving to make sure. Listen, he doesn't really care if you stay at base camp, by the way, because you'll never be dangerous to him. But if you'll start going to your next level, you start making choices for God. You say, Jesus, I'm going to serve You all the days of my life. I'm going forward in You. And God, no matter what it costs me, I count all things done just to know Jesus Christ. You make that decision. I want you to know that hell is going to be unleashed in your life at times. And you're going to wonder, where is God? But God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm right there with you. And you're going to see that God will get you through. As I preached last week, the storm, you might not see the end, but Jesus will always get you through. You got to make a decision. We don't like to do this in the American church because it lowers attendance. Listen, we're not after attendance. We're after believers. We're after kingdom people. And there are folks that will come to your church their whole life and never go to heaven because their goal is not Christ. Their goal is to feel good about themselves, to fulfill a religious obligation that they seem to have in their life. But that gaping hole in your life is to know Jesus. I'm talking actually know Jesus, actually know his voice, actually walk and talk with him, actually know that the word is not just written text, but it is literally rhema word, living word, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, that God supernaturally wants to take you to the next level so that your life will make a difference in somebody else's. Amen. The devil is real. You know, he's real, and their demons are real. People don't like to talk about them in this country, but they're very real. And they work strongly to make sure that you don't follow Jesus. The greatest enemy that we have is really not the devil, because he's already defeated. If you know your authority and walk in your authority, the tool called the authority, delegated authority in Jesus' name. The greatest enemy of our life in reaching the apex or the summit of knowing Christ is us, our flesh. I went to a funeral one time. It was a Greek Orthodox funeral, first time I had ever been to one. And when I went to this Greek Orthodox funeral, it was very long. It was a celebratory one. It was over an hour. And he was walking around with his incense, and, you know, I'm not really sure what he was saying. But when he was done, the ritual was that you had to go kiss the dead person. And so we got in line, and I got up to the dead person, and I, no, I'm sorry. There's some live people I won't kiss. Never mind dead people. But I want you to know that the dead person wasn't offended because they were dead. You can flip over a casket. You can stab a dead person, and you know what? They're okay with that because they're dead. The Bible says that we are to die to self. The greatest way the enemy keeps you off your next level is by getting you offended in the house of God. Is by you being upset at somebody or seeing somebody in the church that you don't like, so you stop coming, or you get offered more money at your job, or this or that. We could go through the list of stuff that people trade their relationship with Jesus for. But you've got to make a decision. I die daily. The most important thing in my life is to know Jesus and the house of God. I got news for you. Church was not created by man. It was created by God. And God made the declaration, do not forsake the assembling of yourself, as the manner of some is, especially in the last days. Jesus is close to coming. Man, if we've ever had time in the house of God, we ever need our brothers and sisters, it's right now. It's time to push forward in Christ. No matter what, you got to make a decision in your heart that you're going all the way with Jesus. Sadly, in 30 some odd years of ministry, I've watched more people not follow Christ all the way than do follow Christ all the way. So what makes one different from the other? God doesn't love anybody more than anybody else. The only difference is desire. Do I really want God? Do I really want my next level? Or do I simply just want to be complacent and sit here? Nobody makes that decision but you. No one can force you in it. No one can manipulate you into it. Every one of us have to make our own choice. We've got the gear. We've got all that we need to succeed in the spirit and in the flesh. We can see the path, and sometimes even when we can't, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. He made the statement, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. No matter what, when you keep your eyes on Christ, you cannot fail. You will reach the summit. You will reach the apex. You might not be there now, just like Paul said. We're none of us are right there now. But one day, when we keep forging forward, when we take our decision and say, it doesn't matter what the world has to offer, I choose Jesus. When everything else is in front of me, I choose Jesus. When I'm sitting at this pace camp, I thank you that I'm going to acclimate. I thank you that I'm going to get some learning in my bones. But I can't wait to go to my next level in Jesus. I can't wait to know him. I can't wait to talk with him. I can't wait to be used by him. I can't wait to raise the dead. I can't wait to see the blind eyes open. I can't wait to see cancer shrivel up. I can't wait to see a devil cast out. I can't wait to lead someone to Jesus and watch them go from death to life. I want you to know that God's got great plans for you. Don't slip off the mountain. Don't slip off the mountain. Don't constantly start over. There's only one direction, and it's forward. And I challenge you as your pastor to get there. Listen, every one of us are on a different base camp. We're all in a different place in our walk with the Lord. You can't compare yourself to somebody else. But you can compare yourself to the Word of God. And you've got to ask. This lifeline keeps me tethered to Jesus. But do I want the lifeline? When you make that decision, it goes beyond just salvation. You now start relationship. You know, 30 years in ministry, I got saved March 13th, 1983, approximately 11:31 in the morning. I am not the same person. I have made mistakes on my journey. I've been a jerk on my journey. I've made poor decisions in my journey. At times, I've slipped back a little bit on my journey. But I made a choice. I'm going to complete it. Jesus made it really clear. Could you grab that for me, Dean? I want to read this verse to you because I think it really applies to our lives as believers. Thanks, Dean. It's a great verse. It's found in the book of Jude, verse 24. Now to him, talking about Jesus, who's able to keep you from stumbling. I love that. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You know what Christ's desire is? That he can present you. This is your son. This is your daughter. They weren't perfect. They were covered with my blood. But Father, they went all the way with you. Can you imagine if there was a church that ran the size that we do, where even 75% were unwilling to stay at the same place they were, and in 1 year grew to the next base camp? Do you realize there's nothing we couldn't do for Jesus in this county? There's nothing we couldn't accomplish that literally would shake the region? As your pastor, I'm challenging you. As your pastor this year, I try to say exactly what I feel God is speaking to me to say to you. And that is, his desire is that you will know him. You will find your greatest peace, your greatest mercy, your greatest happiness, your greatest joy, your greatest prosperity. Everything you want is in Christ. Some of you saw me put it on Facebook this week. I'm a God-made man. I'm not a self-made man. And I'm not a man-made man. I'm a God-made man. You look at my life, you see where I came from. I didn't grow up in money. My aunts, my cousins are all here in the room. I did not grow up in money. For many years, there were planks in my house. You walked on planks to go through the kitchen and go through the living room. There was never heat in my room. Literally, in the wintertime, you could scrape your name in the window right next to my bed. We didn't grow up in luxury. We didn't grow up wealthy.
I'll be honest, we didn't even grow up in a good church. Now that I look back, it was very deceptive, and I think they didn't even really understand it, because it was going to church that got you to heaven to them, not relationship. I don't know where you are in your journey with Jesus, but this I do know. We can all go to the next level. If you asked yourself honestly right now, am I in the same place I was last year? What would your answer be? Forgetting those things which are behind, you now make a goal. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. Are you going to your next level? Are you going to your next level? I said, are you going to go to your next level? Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, I thank you for your church. Lord, this is not my church. This is your church. God, these are not my people. These are your people. I thank you for the honor and the privilege you have given me and my spouse and this staff to be able to share your love with people as we serve them. Jesus, we ask you to do something in all of our lives, everyone that's in this room, no matter where we are in the place of this journey. Jesus, we ask that you'll take us to the next level. We ask, oh God, that you'll keep us safe from the things that will trip us up and get us to slip. That, Lord Jesus, you'll make us aware of the demonic attacks. Don't be deceived. The devil is truly like a roaring lion, seeketh to whom he may devour. I pray, God, that you'll give us wisdom, that we can identify the diabolical plots and assignments that will try to dislodge us to get us off the mountain. I pray, God, that you'll teach us and show us how to bring our flesh into subjection, that we may walk the walk with God, and our flesh will not win the enemy of heaven. Lord, I pray that you'll teach us to surround ourselves with people that are going to speak life to us and not death. Strength and not weakness. Encouragement and not barragement. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join the church. I want you to know that this journey is for you and that God's got a dynamic plan for you. If you want to start this journey, man, I want you to know that we'll walk you through how to give your heart to Christ. But beyond that, we're going to walk you through in your journey so that you will live for Jesus the rest of your life. Today, if you do not know Christ as your Savior and you want him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I know it takes a lot, but go ahead. Just, I want Jesus. Thank you, sir. Put your hand right back down. Thank you very much. Anybody else this morning? Thank you, young man. Amen. That's all right. Let the little children lead him. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else this morning, you want Jesus? Thank you. I see it. I'm proud of you. Jesus sees your hand too. Thank you, young man. Anybody else this morning? 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Could I have the prayer team come to the front of the altar, please? This morning, if you raise your hand that you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to ask you to do something that's very brave. I'm going to ask you, the Bible says, if you declare me before man, I'll declare you before my Father. In fact, could everybody do me a favor? Turn to the person next to you and say, if you didn't raise your hand but you want to go up, I'll go with you. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to be brave. I'm going to ask you to step right out of your chair. Meet me right up front. Come. Bring the children too. They're never too young to receive Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so proud of you. God's got phenomenal plans for your life. I'm so proud of you. It's going to be awesome. Now remember, we want to get the tools in your hand, the right gear in your hand to go all the way. So this is just the start. This is not the end. It's base camp. We'll get you empowered to move forward. So Mindy's going to pray with you.
Susan. We're going to get your Bibles. We're going to make sure you're on the right path, and we're going to make sure that you're connected with somebody that's going to coach you all the way through to make sure you finish this race. Amen? Shout, I'm going to finish. Not just start. I'm going to. Amen. All the way for Jesus. I'm proud of you. Follow Mindy right over in the corner. Anybody else, if you're struggling in your walk with the Lord, you just need someone to encourage you. Maybe you got sickness in your body. I want you to come on up front. We're going to lay hands on you. God's going to heal you. That's right. I don't talk about healing. We believe in healing. We believe in miracles. We believe in signs and wonders. We believe in the supernatural. Why? Because God is supernatural. Enjoy your week. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. Make sure you join the Next Step program.